How do I know if this is even working?
Ladies of the LLLLV.
Thank you. I'll be here all year. Or as long as you listen. Or really just whichever comes first or is better. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking now. Bye!
Edna I know is from South Carolina.
And she talks like this.
How do you know Edna?
We go back.
So everyone, welcome to episode 11.
That was my volleyball number in college. Get
what
out of here.
Hell?
I don't feel comfortable with odd numbers.
She doesn't. It's true.
Do you want me to save this for 12?
I mean, I think I've been working on this in therapy, so.
Have you actually? No. That seems like a lot to work on in therapy.
No, it's not. It's just a little quirk I've had for you.
Guys, this is episode 11 of Ladies of the LV. It's a little impromptu. It's unplanned. Amy's not here. Oh, Amy's my co-host.
They can hear you even
in Asperger.
Shoot.
So, I'm sitting across the...
Is Amy okay with this?
Is this an ottoman?
What? Let me answer both of your questions. Amy's definitely going to be okay with it.
Okay,
she's
great.
Cool like that.
Okay, cool.
Laid back AF. Mm. And I don't know if this is an ottoman. I would call it a chest.
Is it an ottoman? An ottoman, you put your feet... I mean,
you could put your feet up on this.
But it's not the essential ottoman.
What
would
you call it? A coffee table?
Like
it could be many things.
Guys, you know what?
Let's not nitpick.
Could it be a chest? Does it open?
I'm going to call it a chest.
Does it open?
Yeah.
Nailed it. That's what it is.
I'm going to introduce my guests. Oh, God. I don't even know, like, what your titles are. Okay, so... Let's go in alphabetical order.
I don't have a title, so that makes that easy.
Taya Berkner, recent graduate of Nazareth College in a degree in music therapy. Is that a BA or a BS?
It's a BM.
What's that?
As in bowel movement?
as in Bachelors of Music, thank you.
I am out of the
work of bowel movements.
Good
I have retired
you.
From that.
Congrats.
Yes. Thank you.
Talk to us about music therapy a little bit.
Let's get
the professional talk out of the way. First of all, let me introduce Taya on the real. Went to high school with Taya. Actually went to middle school, elementary
church.
School.
We went to, that's how we met, church.
Church, which is ironic. Because
here we are.
Living in sin.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I am pure.
Pure. So, Taya and I grew up together. We probably, like, how many blocks would you say Bridge Street and American Street are away from each other?
At least, like, not even 4 or 5.
Whatever, I went, I was closer.
I was gonna say, like, 9.
9?
9
Well,
blocks.
I'm thinking, like, New York blocks.
Oh. Then 4.
There's a difference there, isn't there?
There definitely is.
Not
like the actual town we live in blocks, but...
Right.
Yeah.
So, Taya and I grew up... Can you silence your phone, damn it? This is important.
You know, this is a...
Are they going to hear my chewing?
Put your phone face down. Be present.
Present.
So, Taya and I grew up together, and she really fucked with me all growing up.
What? This is news. Oh my God.
So, first of all, you told me your dog died and was in the freezer.
That is a little effed up.
And I went home and told my parents, your dog, Taya's dog, Lucky, is in the freezer.
Yeah.
Can you talk to the listeners?
Talk to the people
about
that
a little bit.
I was a jokester. I was a little, I embellished stories when I was a child. And I like to get a rise out of people like Veronica, who believed everything.
She did.
She believed anything and everything.
Why wouldn't you believe what people tell you?
Because people are awful. People are fake. They're
you
awful.
You just weren't tainted.
Evil.
You weren't tainted.
I'm still not.
Tainted.
I preferred to go with that.
You weren't.
You've got great teeth, Abby.
Okay.
Aw, thanks. Years of orthodontry. Orthodontics. Anybody... Can I get a formal spelling?
Stay focused, you two.
Oh, this is gonna be
okay,
hard.
So you fucked with me. You told me Lucky died and was in the freezer.
Yeah.
Also, one time I was supposed to come sleep over. I was so excited, and I couldn't because your mom called my mom and told me that told me that you screamed shut up to your mom and threw something at her down the stairs.
Oh no.
I have a really cool attic room. I love that. Yeah, attic room. I have that.
Remember we used to make forts?
And shows.
Yes, we used to like make playbills
have
for our parents.
And popcorn.
Yeah.
We were friends because we weren't in the same grade. We shouldn't have really known each other, but we did.
Yeah, we were in church together. There was a little bit of competitive.
What?
Like, yes, there was a little bit of.
And now we know.
No, but I mean just naturally. Because we were both performers, and we were both, like, in the plays. Well, that was later, but
you're
I mean
so
in
much
the beginning.
Better than me, though.
That's not even what I'm talking about. Literally. I mean, like, we were both. It's natural. When you have two thespians.
It's true.
I never felt funny. It. I never felt competitive with you because we're so in different lanes.
We're very different.
Lanes.
We're very different.
But so I mean, thanks there's for just telling like, me now.
No, it wasn't
I'm
a bad. Okay, goodbye.
<Just kidding>. Okay, tell me. I won't interrupt.
What was I talking about? Now, my focus has left me.
You felt like we were competitive.
No. I mean, just
probably
like this
natural.
In a good way. We were definitely like we fed off of each other. It was fun. And, yeah, we used to make shows and dance and, you know, performances for our parents. But I remember I tripped your mom in church once. Do you remember this?
No.
On purpose?
Oh, my God. No, not in purpose.
I was going to say, Sue Boshin.
Oh, my God. That was, like, that's one thing I will never forget in my entire life. And I think, like, after that, I thought your mother hated me. Because, like, I was a little nuts. I was a little unruly.
But how did the tripping...
It was an accident.
Oh.
It was an
accident
church.
As in you stepped your foot out into the aisle.
I was probably running around and not paying attention, and I bumped into her, and
did
she like,
fall?
She might have, like, stumbled or fell. But, you know, when you're a kid, like, you think, like, she fell through the ground into the lava. And she
lava.
Burned alive, you know.
I
like,
never heard about it.
Okay.
And, no,
well,
I don't.
Talk to her about
so I feel like that's like a microcosm of our childhood though, like,
yeah.
We were just always like fucking with each other, I feel, but now in adulthood,
yeah,
I'd like to just describe you as one of the most talented people I know.
That's true. You should
no
be,
seriously
you should be famous.
I'm not actually
I wish you would take that step.
Oh,
you
guys
know.
Are fun.
Taya has like one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard in my whole life.
Thank and you. Start singing now.
And you can sing. That's Abby.
That's me.
That's not Taya. I will take the blame for that.
And she's also one of, like, the most, like, I just can't.
I'm not, like, about this. Like, I don't like being praised.
You don't like being, okay.
Well, you should.
No,
it's
okay. We can talk about it.
So, Taya kind of, like, went on this journey through school.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you, like, tried on so many different outfits, and you were, like, such a free spirit that you were trying to figure out where you fit. And it
mm-hmm.
wasn't until very recently that she decided she was meant to go back for music therapy.
Yeah.
And she moved up to Rochester with her aunt and uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And went to Nazareth College for music therapy.
Which is
so
beautiful,
can
way.
You talk about music therapy a little bit? Like, what is
sure.
it? Why do you love it?
Yeah, so music therapy is awesome. It is the clinically and evidence-based tool
oh,
of using music.
Girl,
I know, I have to do
it.
I know.
Throw it in.
Evidence-based practice, you have to throw that in. But basically, it is using music as a therapeutic tool to address non-musical goals. So, you know, I like.
For children? For adults?
That should have been the opening paragraph.
It is.
It's,
you know,
we
work with many, many, many populations. That's the wonderful thing about music therapy, because music can reach so many people. And so it's really, the opportunities are endless. I mean, in my experience at Nazareth, I've worked, you know, we have practicum placements that we have to complete every semester. So I've worked with very young children with autism, with speech delays. I've worked with older adults with aphasia. I've worked with...
I'm sorry, can you explain what aphasia is?
Aphasia is a speech disorder, speech and language disorder.
Okay.
It's various speech and language disorders. I've worked, you know.
Sometimes people can get it from a stroke.
Yeah.
For example, they can either have expressive or receptive aphasia or global aphasia.
Yeah.
Meaning they can't understand or produce words. Mm-hmm. Expressive is they understand you but can't.
It all depends on where the stroke damaged the brain. It all depends on where.
I love that. Abby's in this. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Like, I'm so glad you're here for the support that I need to explain the medical
terminology. Is the key to life, you know?
Prosody. Prosody is actually a term that we use.
I'm sorry, what's prosody?
Can't help you out there.
Is that short for reciprocity?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm all about shortening words, but like... Sometimes my kids say things and I'm like, what? You just said like 5 syllables in what should have been the 3-paragraph essay. You know what I'm saying?
But they knew what they were talking about.
It's like shorthand. I get it. Yeah. It's efficient.
That's why you're there.
Okay, talk to me about why you were drawn to music therapy. Like, what attracted you to that program?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time after I graduated high school working in nursing homes, nursing facilities. I did some, like, you know, private care working with people in their homes. I did kind of, like, a whole gamut. And I knew that I loved working with people. I knew that I loved especially working one-on-one with people and, you know, kind of just being a part of their everyday life. And just being part of, like, the minute things. It doesn't, you know, not the crazy grand things.
Things that we would take for granted that other people can't necessarily
do. You know, like, like, bathing, shower, you know, anything, feeding. Just, it's amazing how much we can take for granted as, you know, able-bodied people. So, I found, like, an incredible, like, fulfillment in doing that, and but there was part of me who still, you know, I still loved music. I still, like, there's part of me that was like, oh, you know, music is still there. I still love to sing. I still, you know, it's kind of like that craving for it. And actually, a woman came into a nursing facility that I was working in at the time, and she was a music therapist, and I kind of just, like, pounced on her, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I've had all these questions and, you know, I want to talk to you and can I come to your workplace and follow you around, blah, blah, blah. So that kind of sparked it. I was interested a little bit in it in high school, but this kind of really kind of was like the catalyst for all that. So yeah, she ended up actually going to Nazareth, which was weird. Because I actually applied for Marywood, which is in Scranton. I applied for Marywood first, but all these crazy things happened. Like, I totaled my car. Like, all these nuts of things happened.
We had
to talk about that. That's weird.
We got in a car accident the same day, a year later. Both totaled our car.
4 years later.
Totaled our car. 4 years later.
Remember that car accident I got into?
My car?
What day was it?
March 22nd?
If it was March 22nd, I will leave.
Wait, hold on. Actually, it definitely was in March. I don't know the date.
Did you total your car?
Totaled.
Was it on Ray Street?
No.
Okay.
Well,
that's
one.
It was
in West Chester.
All right. That's fine.
Okay.
I remember that.
Okay.
Anyway,
sorry. What were they talking about?
You were applied to Marywood, but the universe did not accept that.
I love that. The universe did not accept it.
The universe didn't spit out and said, mission aboard.
And I listened. I was like, yes, mother. Yes.
Is she a mother?
Yes, mother. I hear you. Mother.
I bow down to you, mother. Okay. All right, anyway.
Okay.
Sorry,
I
was
okay. I apologize.
So don't ever say sorry on this podcast ever again, or I will hit this.
That's really
over.
That's
your
a very
temple.
Nice
that's island.
Mike.
I love how you compliment that after I just threatened you physically. Alright, can you just okay.
So Mary, back to me.
So the universe said no.
So all these things kind of fell together, and it turned out that my aunt and uncle lived
Wait,
in
Nazareth. Don't rush, because this is a beautiful story.
Okay, I don't know how much time we have.
We have so much time.
Okay,
don't rush.
Wonderful.
I'm
ready to talk about
my story.
Okay. So it turns out that my aunt and uncle live in Rochester, New York, which I've always known. But they live very, very close to a school called Nazareth College.
Sorry, that's probably my boyfriend.
God damn it.
Oh, no, boyfriend. It's my grandmother. Sorry.
So,
just hung that shit right up.
It's okay. She can wait.
I was just my grandma.
My bad, G-ma.
She can't hear me anyway. She calls me and she's like, hello? And I'm like, hello? And she's like, hello? And I'm like, hello? And then I just have to hang up anyway, so it's fine.
I kind of wish I could have heard that exchange.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mean. It's just the...
That's the reality of the situation.
So, they lived about 5-10 minutes away from the school that has a wonderful music therapy program. And so it's kind of just one of those things that I was like, okay, well, I'll come over.
Why not, right?
And apply for it and let's see what happens. So I did. I went up and I auditioned. The audition was process was like a little bit more, actually way more intense than the Marywood audition. I had to memorize like, I think 4 different pieces that were, you know, one was Italian, one had to be French, one had, I think there were a few different languages I had to do.
Why? Why do you have to audition for music therapy?
So, okay, so the, you know, we have to be musicians because music is our tool.
Okay.
So we have to, you know, be solid in music because if we're not solid in music, we can't, you know, practically and, you know, to our best ability use music as our tool therapeutically. So we have to be musicians first. That's why a lot of people, you know, some people who decide to go to for their master's will do a bachelor's in music, and then they'll decide, okay, I want to do music therapy, so they'll end up doing their master's in music therapy. So they'll already have that foundation of music, which is essential for music therapists. Because again, that's our tool. Just like, you know, I mean, I kind of equate it to like talk therapists, like psychodynamic therapists. You know, I mean, you have to have that basis of like, you know, how to talk to people, you know, the right things, like that kind of, that rapport. You have to establish the correct way. You can't just, you know, talk to, like how you would talk to your friend, you know.
Yeah.
You have to develop
the skills.
It's a skill, yeah. So, so yeah, so that's, you know, a big part of it. So we want to make sure that, you know, our music skills are you know, at least proficient, you know.
Yours are beyond.
Listen, I can't play piano.
Yeah, but a lot of people
now
can't sing like you.
Yeah, you
that's
can.
True. I will say this. Like, I have been very, very, very thankful that my voice has been able to carry me through most of this. Because I struggled so much in theory and piano and anything that involved, like, developing a new skill from scratch. I mean, it's very hard. It's very, very hard. And, you know, I mean, coming into it at 25 years old, you know, when I've been working for, you know, almost 8 years and not really, I mean, when you're working, you're not developing a craft. You're not using those types, that side of your brain, you know, I mean, that part of your brain where you're, you know, you're fine tuning things. You're just kind of going through the motions. And I felt like that's why I wanted to go back to school, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't fine tuning things. I wasn't like pushing myself. I wasn't, you know. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my question.
Yeah.
Let's say I have a child and he's 6 and, you know, I have him tested. He's on the spectrum. He has like a whole host of things happening. And I decide I'm going to send him to a music therapist and I bring him to you. You have a private practice somewhere in Allentown because that's where you're going to live. Whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
See you there.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Tomorrow.
Abby's house. I send him to you.
Uh-huh.
What do you do? Like, what's, like, the norm?
Okay. So,
I love scenarios.
So the thing about music therapy is it's very individualized and client-based, client-centered. So we do the same thing that any clinician will do. They have to make an assessment. They have to make sure that the client is actually fit for music therapy. You know, I mean, there are people that don't, you know, aren't fit for music therapy. They won't, you know, benefit from it.
Why not?
Because there are contraindications.
That's a great word.
All right, wine doesn't let me say contraindication.
So that means...
Contour like Sephora?
So contraindication.
Contraindications
means that one is not suited for a specific type of practice due to many reasons.
It could be one thing or five things.
But if you're not suited, like for a medication, if you have this, this, and this, you're not going to get that medication. Yeah. So it's contraindicated. So you don't get the medication because there could be adverse effects or it could just not work.
So this is kind of one of the many discrepancies about music therapy, because music is such a universal thing, because people all over the world say, oh, music, I love music. Music has helped me through so many things.
Yep.
Music has been such a wonderful thing in my life that I, you know, it has been therapeutic to me. It's been, you know, I've listened to it when I felt sad, so they equate it to therapy. But music therapy is, I mean, can only be done when a certified music therapist and a client are building a relationship, and you know, and there is a goal. Did you just lick that bottle?
Okay, here's my theory.
But you licked it from like the like
no
the,
no from the base.
Right.
You know how like red wine. Okay, okay.
Was,
listen. All right. When red wine drips from the bottle,
you don't want that to get anywhere. I totally get it.
Exactly.
I get it.
And I just feel like, why are we buying stoppers when we have a primal...
But you mixed my
No. You were done. Trust me.
It was mixed. I'm not going to get on anybody's side here. But
what?
There was a little in there.
Okay.
That's okay. It'll be great.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Do you want me to finish my...
No. Oh, yeah. I want you to continue on.
Okay. I'm going to finish. I don't know where
you
I
You don't have to finish.
Though. Where did I... No, not my wine. My speech.
Yeah. You were talking about... I did it again.
She did it again.
You were talking about how everyone thinks music therapy, music it already is therapeutic.
And I would just like to say that that, you know, you really don't think about it as a profession because it's something that we do literally every day.
Yeah.
Every other day. Like you're listening to a song, you start crying because of A, B, and C. Or you listen to a song because you're happy and you're jamming out and you're on the way to the gym and like life is awesome and it just... you know, continues that mood for you, and you really don't even think of it as, like, a type of
But that's
therapy.
Why it's also the perfect type of tool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally
because
agree.
It opens all these avenues and addresses all of these things. Like, you know, you were talking about autism. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of, I mean, you know, I don't want to make a blanket statement that every autistic person will respond this way, and that's why music therapy is very client-centered, because, you know, you make that assessment. You evaluate the client and you say, okay, this is what I need to work on. And these are the things that, you know, my skills have taught me to do and I'm going to do them. And, but, you know, I mean, autistic people have, you know, been shown to be very, very musically inclined. And that sometimes is the only way that you can reach that person and work on their social goals. So, like, if you have somebody with autism and they need to work on their social goals, you know, they can't, you know, their affect is when they're trying to talk to somebody isn't quite normal, quote, you know, whatever, air quotes. So, you know, you come to a music therapist, they assess you. Okay, great, music therapy. I want to work on social goals. So, I mean, and you find out that this person is incredibly musically inclined, you can use music and those beautiful, like, innate skills that they already have inside of them, you know, that just come naturally to them, you know, those, like, amazing things that they're able to do already. And you can take those strengths and you can apply them to the social and you can apply them to other goals that they might need, which is why music therapy is so cool, because it's so, like, obtainable, you know what I mean? You can, you know, it's... It doesn't work for everybody, but it, you know, it's really, there really aren't many boundaries.
I want to hole punch you and put you on a necklace to wear every day.
That's what I was just thinking. Like, you're so intelligent. You're so, you know, like, you're honestly, like, it's so awesome to listen to you because I'm going to cry, like.
Abby cried twice today when
what?
She's ready.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
I don't know.
You but, really, like, it's just so amazing that you found your niche because it's truly, like, you're inspiring.
Aw, thank you. So
also,
are you. I'm so freaking inspired by both of you.
No, I feel like Abby and I...
Damn it, Grandma! Oh no, it's from my boyfriend.
We I feel like Abby and I have seen you.
Oh my god.
We've seen you through some shit, you know? I mean, I threw up on the side of your mom's car.
That was amazing.
That was, you were on
that
my
was
lap.
Only like 2 years ago, but that was amazing.
No, that was nuts! What? Oh my god. Disregard that, everyone. Way long. That was like 2011.
Yeah, we were maybe like 21, oh 22 my god. Years old. Yeah, you were sitting on my lap and just, you know, heaved chunks outside of the car.
Anyways, I'm not trying to take away from that. I'm trying to say, like, we've been through some shit. Like, we've, like, you know, and I just think for you to be sitting across from me like such a beautiful woman.
Honestly, yeah. I'm just overly emotional, so I apologize, but honestly, you're no, Veronica's 100% right.
Thank you.
Ooh, say that again. I love to hear that.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. So, Taya, I'm going to circle back to you because I like to ask some, like, you know, some full circle questions.
Yeah.
However, we're going to segue that shit into my friend.
Are we doing a game show?
No. It sounds like it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Beach Shazam.
We're going to do a game show.
We're going to segue over to Abby Cunningham. Mm.
Abby Cunningham.
Abby. Danielle. Abby Danielle, right?
Wait, your middle name's Danielle.
What's your middle name?
Anne.
I knew that. But I mean, why are you saying it like you're surprised?
Wait, I didn't know
this is cool because my middle name and your middle name combined are
Danielle.
is a famous name. Anne.
Taylor.
Yeah. She knew
Anne
it.
Anne Taylor. That's a
designer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Not Anne to hate Taylor. On designers, boy. Okay. So Abby Danielle, as your brother likes to say, Abigail Adams.
Abigail Adams.
We met in preschool.
Mm-hmm.
In the blue car at St. Paul's.
The blue car.
The blue car.
Can I just say something that's funny about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you can.
Because it was just a conversation I had with my boyfriend. I had my legs crossed. Not crossed, but like I had my ankle like this. Ankle up on my other knee. And he's, like, playing with, like, my calf fat. He's like,
what?
He's like, why is it so jiggly? I'm like, I'm in a relaxed position. Like, what's your problem? And then I told him the story about how one time at daycare, we played Who Has Less Calf Jiggle.
And that's when you're anorexic.
Shut up.
That's
or calf fat, like whose calf is bigger, can sit in the front of the blue car.
I'm sorry, you actually remember this?
I promise you, this is what happened. And I don't know, it was me, you, and somebody else. I don't know who else was at daycare with us. But it was like, let's see whose calf is bigger. Mine was bigger. I've always had the jiggly.
How old were you?
Oh, my God. Probably like.
Preschool?
That's like body dysmorphia.
I don't have body dysmorphia, but I'm just saying the point is. Tommy was like, he was like hitting it. And I'm like, yeah, this has been a thing since pre-K.
Day one.
Since day one, my friend.
Preschool, you were like three.
I know. We weren't that young.
Yes,
no,
you were. Before kindergarten, you're five.
That's how young we were?
Yes.
But we also went there after school, though. After Sheckler, we would go there until we would go home, no?
I don't remember.
Because
I don't know how you remember
I have
this.
Memories. Like, I can't imagine that we were only three because I don't think I would remember that.
Good for you because it means, like, nothing, like, super traumatic has happened to you or you've, like, blocked it out.
Right.
It's real. But, not to go down
Anyways.
That path. But the fact that you have those vivid memories is, like, a great
I do. It was
thing.
Funny. It's funny to me. I didn't take offense to it. I was like, yeah, I'm you know, I was bigger
car.
Than all the other people.
So, Abby and I... We knew each other in St. Paul's.
Mm-hmm.
Blue car, onion grass.
We would pick the onion grass.
And eat it.
Outside of the
with
fence.
Dirt.
It was delicious. I'm not even
I always
lie
love the smell of
it.
Onion grass now.
Yeah. It's like, it's bulbous.
Bulbous.
Bulbular.
Bulbous.
Is bulbular a word?
Bulbous.
It
is
should
so, right?
Be.
It should be.
Bulbular and vulgular.
Bulbous, yes.
Yeah,
bulbular.
It comes right out of the ground.
So anyways.
Satisfying.
It truly was. I was a horticulturalist back in my time. Before I even knew
Your
it.
Words just keep adding syllables.
I feel like this podcast is going to be 90% me wheezing laughing in the corner. So Abby and I have known each other our whole lives.
Yeah.
Gone through many phases, but not really. Because I feel like we've gone through phases, but we've always been a major constant in each other's
That's
lives.
That's true.
It's never been, like, confusing. Like, you're
yeah.
Abby and Veronica.
I never felt ill, like, ill-willed. Is that the word? Like,
yeah.
I never felt negative towards you, like, because I can think of many times of people who I was just like, the hell? Like, I hate your guts.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a teenager and you're just like, you know, but I never felt that way. Really, for Veronica. Yeah. Or you.
Smarter. It's just like, I like it, you know, we are who we are.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is what it, it's a beautiful thing.
Honor, really
is. Have friendships like that. Honor who you are. So, I've seen Abby through many phases, many toxic relationships, many boyfriends, colleges, schoolings, road trips, birthdays, and the woman sitting before me is a beautiful registered nurse.
Hey.
Hey.
BSN, by the way.
Better than BS.
Better than your daily shit.
Your degree in
biology?
Is your degree in biology?
Yes, I have a degree in biology as well.
Okay, which is like totally like fine and normal. So, talk to me about, I like to feel my skin on my chin. It's like, especially when it's cool. It's like a, just a, it's like a, hey, you've been there for me through so much, and I forget about you.
Your shoulder. You're your own shoulder to lean on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the beauty of it.
I mean, think about it. Like, I was recently talking about a mole that I have, and I was like,
did you get that checked?
Oh, yeah, I always get them checked, but
great
then
job.
I'm like, do I get this removed? But, like, she's been through everything with me.
Huh.
You know?
Did
and
you
that's how I feel
it?
About my the skin on my shoulder. Like, it's there for me always, and I just forget about
actually,
it.
Actually, your skin, your body regenerates every 7 years.
You know what?
Oh, my God, I'm really only 14.
So, since I've been 20.
So you actually don't know yourself at all.
Okay.
God
damn it! 20, the age of 20
I'm
until
really
now, 20. That's like the real time.
It truly is.
That's the only time
think
that
about
matters.
The growth that,
oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
27.
Abby, wait.
What?
Before we talk about your nursing, I was recently telling someone about that time at when Vanessa was house-sitting and we all had a party. And I drank like half a handle of Admiral Nelson by myself.
Oh, my God. That makes me
and Mark Emmerich was there. Do you
and
remember
the dead
this?
Fish?
Yes! This is what I was talking about! And they didn't I just screamed. I'm sorry. And I
it's
and,
okay.
But like I said, I was like I was truly like prepubescent, like weighing
like
70 pounds maybe.
Yeah.
I was like not
no, you had boobs then. How
you had you had boobs for a while.
Think about Godspell. Think of my size in Godspell.
But you had boobs. You were very thin, but you had boobs. Like they kinda came out of nowhere.
They did.
Right? But you had boobs.
Remember when people would be taking pictures on their digital cameras and I would just, like, show up and flash?
Yeah, all the time. You were totally comfortable with just showing the nips. Like, you
why
were free the nips every day.
And all it right. was never like, oh, hey, like, I want attention.
No.
It was just like,
it was like,
always
Veronica.
Like, this is me, bitches.
Yeah.
I love my body.
Yeah.
Fuck you all.
I was like,
yes.
You know, scrolling through, and that's Veronica's nipples. Okay, moving on. Like, you, I'm scrolling like
yes.
we had a scrolling back then, but you had really, you truly had like a 2-inch screen on your digital camera and like
clicking.
A, you were clicking.
Wait, let
through
me zoom
it.
In on
and
this
like,
area.
You knew how to delete. Like, you knew like the trash. Yes, okay.
Yes. I still
there
have my
so
digital camera.
Okay, okay, I'm sorry. So,
okay,
talk to us about your journey of being a nurse, because you weren't, this wasn't your trajectory, like, you
no.
didn't, but you've landed here. So, how did you get here?
Well, I was originally thinking, so I went to Roger Williams University in Rhode Island, which, like Taya, I had family up there. My Aunt Judy and Uncle Ray lived there for, oh my gosh, 30 years, so we would vacation there in the summer, because it was just something to do, and I mean, Rhode Island is beautiful.
Mm-hmm, it's so beautiful.
If my Aunt Judy, my uncle Ray passed, but if my Aunt Judy was still up there, I wouldn't even think twice about moving up there because I would have someone there and I just love it. I absolutely love
it. I'm sorry, can we all, like, after this have a conversation about the two of you, like, wanting to move away? Because I'm gonna log roll down. What street am I on? Livingston Street. Nobody find me.
No, it's okay. I always wanted to have that experience of going far away. And my dad to this day would be like, well, you could have got a biology degree anywhere, which is absolutely right. And in hindsight, yeah, I could have went to Muhlenberg, Moravian, what have you, and, you know, not be in the debt that I'm in, but the point being, the experience was, it's exactly what I wanted to do, and I got to play volleyball, and that's truly what I wanted to do with 4 years of being away from home. So I knew that I wanted to be in the medical profession in some capacity, and I had applied to medical school upon graduating Roger Williams. It was either during my senior year or right after graduation that I decided I wanted to apply to all these schools. But I'm not quite sure that that's where my heart was. It just sounded good. Like, oh, Abby the doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, Abby gets to go to medical school. Like, I don't know if that was exactly, mm-hmm. like, my thing. But I gave it a shot. I didn't get in anywhere, and I didn't necessarily expect to. Because obviously it's very competitive.
You felt like you were, like, playing a role?
Yeah, almost, yeah. And when I got rejected, I wasn't really, like, oh. Like, that's, I wasn't, like, mm-hmm. that upset about it. I was just like, okay, whatever. And I think it also, the fact that I had to get 2 surgeries upon graduating, like you guys remember. I was literally out of work and out of school for almost, like, 2 years because I had to get 2 surgeries, like, 6 to 8 months apart.
Mm-hmm.
On my knee, where I couldn't take on a job or a role or school that required me to stand for long periods of time or whatever, because who can be on crutches in a medical field? Like, you can't do that. So it was almost like I tried knowing that I had these surgeries coming up, so I couldn't be too upset about it because I knew what my life was going to be like for the next, like, year and a half. So when I didn't get in, I was like, all right, whatever. Like, I had to take on these surgeries. And when I had finally healed, I was thinking to myself that, okay, physician assistant is what I wanted to be, because I already had my BS in biology. Like, why would I go get another bachelor's degree when, like, my master's is literally, like, right there? I could go do anything I wanted in the medical field with a master's. So I started working where Taya used to work, at a nursing home. And we worked together. We worked together for a little bit of time. And I actually remember the first night that I walked onto her floor. She's like, come here, like, let me show you, like, how this goes. And, like, like, this is what I do, and this is how everything works. And so, and then I think shortly after you had left to go take on, like, personal care, right?
What's happening over there?
No, it's just, like, there's definitely secret language between CNAs. It's
there
just
is,
like,
yeah.
It's just, like, a different world, like,
so,
to be a CNA.
So,
yeah.
The point is, I took a class, I think it was,
you
what,
loved,
like,
it when you worked there.
Oh, my God.
You
it's
so fun.
Honestly,
like, awful at the same
time.
It
is. It's awful and fun at the same time. It's, like, you have to be okay with people's poop. People's vomit. You are literally
people dying.
You are the person that needs to do all of the cleanup work, all of the, you know, activities of daily living that they call them, everything
mm-hmm.
that people can't do for themselves. And the thing is,
but the relationships you build with them.
Oh my
are
God!
Like,
I mean, like,
amazing.
I would come in and look for my little Spanish friend in the wheelchair. You know what I mean? Like, she'd be like, "Ah, Abby, how are you? Like, what are we doing today?" Like, it was fantastic. Like.
Yeah.
And that's when I would come home, and the memories I have from that are, like, irreplaceable. Because
I remember you guys, like, during that time, like, we would, like, get together and have wine, and you would just, like, swap stories.
Yeah.
And I would be, like,
because honestly,
rolling.
It's just, you know, and it's not to, how do I want to say it? Like, I'm not speaking ill of anybody or anybody that's in a nursing home, because sometimes it's not their choice.
Yeah, it's usually not
but,
their
like,
choice.
Honestly, when you have the passion and the heart to take care of people,
mm-hmm.
whereas I've seen lots of people do it just for money's sake,
yeah.
which is sad. It really turns into something that you can enjoy.
And I truly miss it.
That's what I'm saying.
Honestly,
sometimes,
I go back and I visit
yeah.
my residents now. Yeah.
Sometimes you really just develop bonds because that's long-term care, and those people aren't going anywhere, so you're constantly with those people every day. And you get to know their names, you get to know their families, what they like to eat, a specific piece of chocolate that they love after dinner, or, like, whatever. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
it's really nice. And so I wanted to get my patient care hours for physical, or a physician assistant, thinking that's the path I wanted to go down. But after I was at the nursing home for so long, I was like, you know what, nursing is kind of right up my alley. Like, I love that you're kind of the face that someone sees every day.
Mm-hmm.
the shoulder they can lean on, somebody they count on for just basic things that, again, like Taya said, we take for granted. And so that's when I applied to nursing school, and I knew that I wanted to do it quick because at that time I was 25, and I'm like, for God's sake, like, I don't have a career. Like, I mean,
Oh my God, you're so fucking old.
No, but like the social stigma. Like, let's think about it though. Like, the social stigma of like being.
It is hard.
Like,
yeah.
A lot of people that I knew from college, my first go around with college, had a degree, had a job within months, started their career at 22, 23 years old, and by the time I got to nursing school, were already working 2 years in a field that where they wanted to be. So, like, the stigma of wanting to, like, have a career and making that money was, like, kind of weighing on me for such a long time. Like, what am I doing? Like,
Can we just harp on that for a quick sec? I feel like people think millennials are, like, super, like, obviously self-absorbed and lazy and, like, all these things. But I do think the one thing that I don't think people understand is the idea of, like you're saying, like, being so career-driven, and you see everyone that you, like, graduated high school with who's already, like, they graduate with a job and a master's.
Right,
and like, that's the norm.
That's the thing. Like, when I graduated...
And if you don't, you're garbage.
Right. Yeah. When I graduated with my bio degree, regardless of the fact that I needed to get two surgeries and I knew I couldn't start a job right away, regardless of that, there wasn't much I wanted to do with that degree. Like, I didn't want to work in a lab. I didn't want to go look under a microscope every day. Like, I didn't want to go work with oysters in a, like a, like, seriously, though, I have friends who are marine biologists, and that's what they do every day because they love it, and I think that's fantastic. But that wasn't me, and I knew that I had to find something that related to the sciences in my degree that wasn't exactly research-driven or, like, you know, leaning towards, like, a marine biologist, which was something I thought I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to work with dolphins at SeaWorld for a short period. I was like, yeah, heck yeah. I was like,
yeah,
this is going to be awesome.
SeaWorld's not a good place.
Right. And I, you know, so it was hard to come to that fact, to be like, okay, I'm at a place where, like, I should have already been working 2 years. I should have, and, you know, you can't necessarily blame your circumstances because a lot of the times it's not up to you. Like, I think a lot of things happen to make you who you are today, and regardless of how long that takes, it's how long it takes, and then you learn from whatever you've been through and you go about your business. So I don't think...
It's so hard to tell somebody who's,
it
like,
is.
18.
Though. Oh, it is. Absolutely.
I mean, I had my first, not my first, but I had one of, like, my worst panic attacks when I was 19 because it was just all these things crashing down on
because
me.
Because you have so many expectations for yourself, and there's so many expectations from everybody around you that may not, that you may just be perceiving yourself.
It
may not even be from anybody.
Yeah,
it's just you putting so much pressure on yourself.
My mom never said, oh, you have to go get...
My parents never would have been like, you need to do this
But it's what we were... Like,
and it's disgusting
because
it's what
in.
You see on social media. It's what you see on TV. You know, all these business people so young, and then they own their own companies. And you know what I mean? It's a lot of pressure to put on yourself.
If you were walking down the street and, like, universes collided and your 18-year-old self was, like, simultaneously walking down the street as, like, your current-day self, I feel like you guys would, like, look at your current-day selves and be like, damn, I want to be like that girl. Like, I feel like where you are now is, like, so cool to me because you've come so fucking far. And it's, like, crazy to hear you talking about, like, your careers and where you are. And, like, that journey is what makes you so passionate.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
If it was handed to you,
absolutely.
You never would feel this way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Like, I don't think I would have been able to choose a medical profession had I not been through a back surgery and 5 knee surgeries.
Yeah. People,
you know what
know?
I mean? Like,
The people who are like, oh, I'm going to go to school for this and that's what I'm going to do, I feel bad for them. I'm like, how boring for you. Like, you should be a pinball machine.
I'm not sure if I feel bad for them or if I'm like, wow, like, are you a superhuman? Like, people, I mean, it's not natural to graduate. I mean, if you can do this, amen. But if it's not natural to graduate as a 17-year-old person
and know what you want. And if you do, I think that's like, honestly, if you're truly
I think
set,
it's luck, though.
It might be. It really might be.
I think it's weird.
It's weird, but it's also luck.
But think about when you were 17 and 18 years old. You knew everything. and you knew what your future was going to bring, and like that was the end of it. Nobody could tell you any different. So then when A, B, and C were through at you out of nowhere, right? Take it to your hands and whatever.
Maybe that's all you need.
Yeah.
You know that song?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who doesn't know that song? Like, is that real?
It was my theme song at 16.
Right.
So here's my question for both of you. If you could go back to that 17-year-old girl and give her just like a phrase of advice, what would it be?
Wow. I will say this only because it's what my Aunt Judy said to me for years and years and years, because like she was my only support, not my only support, but who was very close to me while I was in Rhode Island. She would say, the cream always rises. So like no matter what you're going through, no matter if it's positive, negative, whatever, you'll always get to the top of where you want to be at some point. Mm-hmm. It may not be right away, but it will be. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. And that's what I tell myself to this day. Mm-hmm. It's like, it doesn't matter what you go through. Everybody goes through shit. Mm-hmm. It's you not making an excuse out of it and continuing to build upon what you're already passionate about and getting to the top, because everybody is certainly capable of that if they want to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would tell them, because, you know, when you're 17 years old, it's like, oh, God, life sucks. Where am I going to go? Oh, my God. But, like, really, there's so much to learn and to grow from that you always rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah. Always rise. I love that. And, like, going off of that is absolutely, like, learn from people. You know, I mean, as a 17-year-old, of course, you know everything, and you know, you don't want to listen to anybody. Nobody knows anything. But learn from people, listen to people's stories, and know that, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, like, happiness is not a destination. It's, like, it's something that is going to come in ebbs and flows, you know? I mean, it's going to come in and out of your life, and you're never going to get to this point where you're like, okay, I'm happy now, you know? It's gonna come and it's gonna go, and then you're gonna have these, you know, periods of sadness and periods of ultimate, like, you know, you're gonna feel like everything is crashing down on you, and that's okay, because it will get better. And I think, you know, as a 17-year-old, I think most people at 17 think that, like, they're never gonna get out of that, you know? And you will feel like that again, you know? I mean, it will happen again.
And again.
And again, and again. But then it will get better again. And then you'll remember that it was bad and it got better. And that's just freaking life. Like, it's awesome and it's awful. But everybody does it, and you can do it too.
I just have recently been thinking, like, if my mantra is, like, staying true to who I am. I think I said this to you guys earlier. Then it's like, I'm gonna get on that roller coaster, and I don't care if the guy checks my lap bar. I don't care. I'm on this roller coaster, and I'm gonna hold on, and I'm gonna commit. And I'd rather go to sleep at night knowing that I at least got on and I held on, versus like, I'm just gonna wait.
Exactly.
I just think that's, like, the thing that you don't know when you're 17, and maybe even now when I'm 27, and maybe I look back when I'm 45, and I'm like, wow. But you have, like, I'd rather be all in than all out.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, that's exactly how I've always seen things. Like, I wasn't necessarily positive I wanted to be a nurse. Like, I wasn't. Every clinical rotation, I'm like, ugh. Like, I gotta watch a baby be born. Yeah. That's so insensitive of me, but, like...
But it's when part of it.
When you go through that stuff, you're like, God, like why am I doing this? Because it's so hard as a student to really grasp the everyday of a nurse when you're the student who can't give the medication, who can't necessarily hold the hand of a dying person. You know, there's so many things you can't do as a student, and then... Like you said, Veronica, you just have to hold on.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not what you want to do at the end, you figure it out. But I'm so thankful that at the end of all of that, I figured out it is, like, my vocation to be somebody that just literally gives themselves to other people. You know, it's Stop. This is the third time I've cried already, and Taya's...
But
like, no, I literally...
I'm crying. What the fuck? But, like, the beautiful thing about this is I feel like we've all come to a point that, like, that we realize that if it doesn't work out, we'll be fine.
Yeah,
and that, I think that's the coolest part about that, about all of this, is that, like, we realize that, like, there might come a day where we like, you know, come home from work and we realize, like, you know, I'm not doing what I want to do anymore. Right. And that's okay. That's fine.
It is okay.
Because life, it's not, there are no rules.
Listen, when they tell you at your freaking orientation in college, when people change majors 17 times and careers 4 times in their lifespan, that's real shit.
Yeah, but like,
that's real.
$200,000 later.
Yeah.
Like,
and here I sit.
Here's what I want
to
say.
On 2 house mortgages just waiting to be paid, and I don't have a house. Let's talk about that.
I'm not going to take advice from them.
No.
Mm-mm. I sit across from the two of you, and this is the first time I've ever on Ladies of the LV. I've had a lot of people on, but you are two people who I've, like, literally grown up with. I've known you since single digits.
Literally.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy.
Real. And it's so inspiring to see where your journeys have taken you. Like, I've met a lot of women, like, you know, in, like, my teens and 20s, and it's beautiful, but, like, I've known you from, like, pre-pubescent years, and the two of you are so fucking real, which is such a rare quality.
Abby's crying again.
No, you really are. You really fucking are. Like, just real. I am who I am. I'm sloppy. I'm messy. I've been through shit, but this is me.
Yeah.
That's the most beautiful thing a woman can own.
And let me just say this. A lot of people will take that as being selfish.
No.
Like,
do that?
But, like, just, you know, people who know themselves and know what they want and have the means to get there or will do whatever it takes to get there can maybe come off as selfish. But, like, I truly, like, what I've learned in the last 3 years, maybe 4 years, is that it's not selfish. And it's where I hope that everybody gets to is, like, knowing that you have limitless potential and that if you want something so bad, you can go for it.
We shouldn't have to apologize for it.
Right, and you don't have to be apologetic for that, because that is freaking awesome. There is not a lot of people that are just like, this is who I am and this is what I want. But when you get to that point, it's honestly like such a freeing feeling, because there is nothing that would stop you from getting to that point. Mm-hmm. No relationship, you know, no fight with your mom, no fight with a best friend would ever stop you from getting to where you need to be. And I think that's freaking awesome. And I think you only learn that in time. I wouldn't have ever said that to myself at 18, 19, not even 21 years old would have I said that to myself.
You have to go through
But
that.
Now at 27, it's like, heck yeah. And it's not even the scary part of, like, being like, oh my God, I'm almost 30. It's not even that. Mm-hmm. It's just knowing that you are where you're supposed to be in this moment in time, and whatever will be.
And you don't have to burn bridges to get there.
Exactly.
Either. You know what I mean?
It's and whoever not... wants to follow you will follow you.
Yeah.
And will be there for the ride. And if they don't, it's not in the cards. And that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't say sorry.
Yeah.
Stop saying sorry.
You can't apologize for being you. Like,
and
you,
stop letting men let you. Okay, no, let's get on this turn.
Right. Don't be hetero, though.
Don't let women.
Don't let, no. Let's talk about the real issue. Don't let men. I'm just kidding.
Don't let men. No,
don't, okay, so on a final note. Don't ever apologize for being who you are.
Yes.
Honestly.
Don't let
whatever
any
that means to you.
Significant other.
Person.
Human.
Yes, human.
Obstacle.
Even selfish dogs. You just want to eat.
Honest.
Selfish
dogs. Dogs, all
Piper's
dogs,
not selfish.
All they want
to
do
the
is
cutest.
Eat.
Shout out to my pipes.
Way. Are we about to, like, am I about to, like, diss dogs?
No.
Like,
yeah,
no,
don't diss dogs.
There's no such thing.
I just want to say that as someone who's known the two of you my whole life, I can't think of a better episode of Ladies of the LV, episode 11. Like, this was so amazing. Thank you for being your real true selves. People are lucky to hear your thoughts. I hope they listened all the way through.
Oh, thank you.
I love the two of you so much.
Love you, girl. Love
Thanks
you.
For being on. I have to pee.
Heck yeah.
Bad.
Listen, I peed 3 times. OAB is a real thing. Overactive bladder. Just kidding. I don't have it.
Guys, if you have
I
any
know. It's just
like
me 3 times.
Your body,
disclaimer.
Your musical self, whatever. Follow me on Insta. Find Taya and Abby. They're here for you.
Abs11.
Yeah, me. Damn me your problems. Bye.
On behalf of everyone at Ladies of the LV, and by everyone I mean just me and Amy, don't be salty, Amy, I said your name. I would really like to thank you for listening, and if you like what you hear, please head over to iTunes and subscribe for future episodes, because we're going to have a lot of badass females on here. And by a lot, I mean hundreds, maybe even millions. Can anyone tell me the exact population of the Lehigh Valley? I don't know why I have to be so aggressive with numbers. Oh my goodness. Anyway, also, please feel free to visit veronicawithaglassofbubbly.com, where we have the podcasts and more blogs and fun things for you to read while you're sipping on a glass of champagne or the bottle. No judgment. We all do what we need to do.